Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
All right, Juice, you know how I always say I've got a guy for everything?
Yeah, yes, you do, Big Seth. You've got a guy for printing, a guy for cigars, a guy for, what was it, custom pool flamingos?
Don't knock the flamingos. But when it comes to remodeling your home, my guy is Alvaro Freitas and his crew at Casabella Design Group.
Yes, your favorite contractor, right?
Well, he is my favorite contractor, and he'll be yours as well with just one call. Casabella has been remodeling homes in South Florida for over 20 years. Kitchens, bathrooms, full home renovations, even outdoor spaces that'll make you forget that you live on that cul-de-sac.
And they don't just make things look good. I mean, they handle permits, planning, construction, all the stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out.
Easy on the hair, okay?
Yeah, right, right.
But trust me, Alvaro shows up with a plan, a crew, and he may even bring you a cafecito. The man is a machine.
Yeah, so if you're ready to love your home again, or, I mean, you just want to make your neighbors jealous, head to CasabellaDG.com and schedule your free consultation.
That's CasabellaDG.com and tell Alvaro the Fish Tank sent you. He might even give you a deal, or at least a hug.
Casabella Design Group, proud partner of the Fish Tank. Let's build something beautiful together.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that Fish Tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Golf fans, number one. One. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that Fish Tank.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome back to Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group, Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt, live from the Casabella Design Group studios. I heard somebody can't hear me, but we are on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. I hope we're joined by Super Duper, but I know I'm joined by the man with the best hands in the live podcast business. He is OJ McDuffie. Juice, you brought in a super guest tonight, and we're going to talk to him in a minute here if he can stick with us on the phone without technical difficulties. As always, we've got our producer, the legendary Savak, in the house, and our host, who's been kind enough to open up his doors here for us, Michael Leva from Dolphins Talk, with his Syracuse Orange. Juice, we got two different oranges rocking today.
I see. So let me address the elephant in the room. Super Duper's ass.
He's the elephant.
Well, I mean, the fact that he can't, you know, we run into this problem, Seth, you know, doing the Fish Tank all the time. We run into guys that, you know, aren't 21 anymore. Technology slips out of their fingers, man. This is a guy that did not, you know, let a lot of passes slip through his hands, but, you know, Dupe is are you there, Duke? You good?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
There we go. All right. Yeah. So okay. Yeah. So I'm excited about this, man. It's so crazy that, you know, our guest is a guy that, you know, I've known for a long time, but never played with Big Seth. But it's like we played opposite each other, man. So it's really cool to have him on tonight, and we'll talk some good Dolphin stuff tonight.
Yeah, excited about it. Dupe, I appreciate it. So when OJ McDuffie calls and says, will you go live on our show, how long did it take you to think about it before you said yes?
God, Duncan. We'd
so last week it was Chad. Now this week no one can hear Seth. I love it.
No, yeah.
That's okay.
Get everybody else going.
I think our show only works if something's not working. That's what our show is at its gotta be,
Big Seth.
That's part of the charm.
It is. Well, when Dupe is back with us, just let us know, Dupe.
We keep cutting in and out.
All of us or just me? Somebody else asked Dupe if he can. You can hear him.
He hears Dupe.
Nah, I keep cutting in and out. Hold on just a minute.
All right. We'll be here, Dupe. When you're ready, we'll be here. So in the meantime, while Marcus Super Duper is getting his Chris Perkins internet figured out, I want to ask you guys.
Mute him, Savak, till he comes back.
Yeah, he's working on his thing.
That could get dangerous.
That could get dangerous. So I know we're competing with a big address on another channel, or I guess every other channel that we're not going to talk about because we don't talk politics on the show. Jim McDuffie informed me right before we went live the first time.
That's right.
But the big news in the National Football League, which certainly bled into some news for the Miami Dolphins, was that the owners' meetings took place in Phoenix, right? The owners' meetings took place in Phoenix, and all the head coaches were there, all the general managers were there. So it was like a big field trip for Dolphins' new general manager, John Eric Sullivan, and Jeff Hafley. And I'm hearing a lot of positive feedback. Everything we're hearing is that they went in there and they impressed folks. And so I just want to talk to you guys about this. And I guess, Juice, I'll start with you.
Yeah,
okay. What type of an impression, how much does it matter what the impression is that Jeff Hafley and John Eric Sullivan make on their peers when they're at the owners' meetings?
Well, I think it's important, whatever they're saying, moving forward right now, Big Seth, because nothing they can do about what's going to happen on the football field, right? So everything they've said so far, ever since the hires, ever since, you know, the combine, ever since things in free agency, everything they're doing, the owners' meetings, you know, they've done it really well, man. So all we can do and go by is the fact that, you know, what they're saying, and, you know, we've heard it before. You know, we've heard it all before. You know what I mean? You've heard that song, right?
I have.
And so it's like we got to make sure that, you know, what they're saying matches what happens in, you know, in the fall. But right now they're doing everything right. I believe that. And we've got the two guys and Sully and Half that are, you know, I see them taking pictures for the first time, like Sully taking pictures for the first time with the GMs, Half taking pictures for the first time with all the head coaches or whatever might be going on, man. So what they're saying is definitely, you know, the right things to say, the right things to do. But we got newbies, but so far so good on what they're saying and what they're talking about. But we have to bring that into fruition when it comes to what they do on the football field and all the talent that we have. So
Michael Levo, let's ask you, you know, you follow Dolphins news as close as anybody. Has there been any one thing for each guy, any one thing that you heard from Jeff Hafley, any one thing that you heard from John Eric Sullivan that stood out to you at these owners meetings?
Sullivan, yes. When he spoke about the offensive line, he gave praise to Patrick Paul. He gave praise to Aaron Brewer. He, in a low-key, very subtle, very professional way, kind of called out Jonah Savainea and Austin Jackson and kind of was like, you know, one has to be more consistent. One has to stay healthy. Right. Pretty much there's going to be competition at right guard, which I know we lost our right guard. But those two guys are kind of like, you got to be better. And he didn't heap the praise on them. He heaped on the other two who have been consistent, healthy, and performed at a higher level. So I think what we're seeing is in years past with other people in charge, whether it's the head coach or the general manager, everything's always great. Everyone's great. It's all great. Everything's great. He's not coming in here. He's not playing that game.
He's not pulling smoke, is he?
He's like, these two are great. These other two have to be better. And he's saying that in late March. So that one kind of like, oh, okay. If I was those two, you might want to make sure, you know, I doubt there's going to be a lot of veteran rest days in training camp this year like for certain people. And you better be out there practicing your butt off, and you better play well because, again, they didn't draft either one of these guys. They have no ties to either one of these guys, and they will be more than happy to put in someone that they brought in place of one of these guys if the situation warrants it. So for Sullivan, that Hafley, it's tough because we haven't seen him in action yet as a head coach, but he's saying the right things. Nothing, you know, when he spoke about the wide receiver saying that we have to get some more, I mean, it's kind of obvious, so I don't know if that really stands out. So for him, it's a little different. We're really not going to know more about him till September anyways. But John Eric Sullivan, what he's done with his cap, taking all the big hits this year, I think a lot of fans like. I think how he's got 7 picks in the top 94, I think a lot of fans like. He's got a hit on the picks, but it's a good first step at least. And I think he's saying the right things, and he's done a very good month and a half or so on the job so far. Let's see if that positive momentum can continue.
Yeah, good stuff. Real quick, I want to do a wellness check on Duke. Can you hear us, Duke?
He's on mute now. So
I know he's on mute, but I don't know if he can hear us.
Duke.
Can we unmute him?
I'm muting.
Duke, can you hear us?
Hello?
We can hear you. Can you hear us?
I heard some of the things that y'all was talking about.
All right.
Duke, do you pay any attention to what when the Dolphins' new coach and general manager, when they're at the owners' meetings, do you pay any attention to that?
Cutting off again.
Oh, shit. So,
hey, Duke, you got to get rid of that dial-up shit, man. I'm tired of this, man. All this dial-up.
Yeah, it's probably the 1980s computer and shit I got on my phone.
Oh, man.
I can't hear. It's like you're cutting in and out.
Right. Are you in Florida or Louisiana, Duke?
No, I'm in Florida. Matter of fact, I'm right here. I'm sitting here in Margate.
Okay. Well, you guys got it. I'm gonna talk to your mayor to see what the hell is going on. Because I know some mayors around this, you know. I ran into one of my favorite mayors today, my man AJ Ryan. I ran into today, man. And you know, he's a great mayor over there in Dania. And I think they've got great Wi-Fi going on over there, man. So you guys need to talk to your mayor about your Wi-Fi, bro.
I think where I'm at is too many people on the Wi-Fi.
You know?
I know it. I'm just waiting on them to, we don't have to pay taxes no more. I'm going to be proud of that.
That's why he's listening on the other room there. He's got the
state going to go broke, but we have. You don't have to pay taxes no more.
Dude, I'm not going to get political. I'm just going to say don't believe everything you hear. I'll just leave it at that. Don't believe
And Duke's in that bracket we've been trying to attack, Big Seth. You know what I mean? We've been trying to get at that Duke bracket. You know, he's still don't let the time, the era he played in fool you about, you know, I mean, who knows what Super Duper, because he honestly changed his name officially to Super Duper. You know, who knows what tax bracket he might be in? He's trying to, you know, who knows?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to pay property tax no more.
I know that's right. And you shouldn't.
It doesn't matter what bracket.
You should not, Duke. You should not. I'm with you on that, man.
But I'm trying to figure out how does state gonna run if nobody pay property tax? It's gonna be hard to run this state without that kind of money.
Duke, let me ask you this question, Duke. When you bought your property, did you pay taxes for it?
Yeah, you pay taxes on.
When you brought some Nike shoes, do you keep paying taxes on those Nike shoes?
Well, that's different, man. That ain't no damn property.
That is your property. Item, that's your property, Duke. I'm just saying, man. Once we buy it, we keep paying. Well, that's why I left Plantation Acres, man, because I was paying $50,000 a year on that shit, man. I had to go, bro.
Oh, I know. That's what I say, but... But I don't know. Taxes is something that, you know, it's like, for instance, if you go in one place, you know, taxes be, you know, like you say, like what you was paying for the game, you go in another place, it'd be $1,500 and stuff like that, you know. But to like where I'm at, you know, the taxes is pretty damn high over here. But it is what it is, you know, and nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. You pay for it, right? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I just got to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know one way.
So let me ask you a question. Since we are about the Dolphins, now we have no receivers. I mean, what receivers do we have now?
Well, I thought that's how you could pay down some of these taxes, Duke. Can you get in there a little bit? The room is empty now.
Did anybody can answer that question?
Yeah, well, I'm gonna tell you this, man. I am. I got one play. You got a play?
One and a half. Yeah,
one and a half plays. I don't know what a half play means. You get hurt on a play? What the hell's that's a half play?
Straight to the sideline, get paid like everybody else do.
Oh god, too good, too good. So, yeah, well, we did hear
something. Yeah.
Jeff Halfley.
When was the last time you talked with? Did you say you talked with Ralph and Dan and Nat?
Well, Dan wasn't there, but Nat and Ralph were there. Yeah, and then OJ called, and we, all of a sudden your dominoes game came up.
See, cut off again.
So it's me. I got to stop talking to Duke because every time I do is it...
right. So I'll tell him what it. So Duke, you know, Ralph was there. Nat was there. Dan was not there. But you, Nat was telling me you've been talking trash about your dominoes game, bro. So what? I mean, what's up with that, bro? Like, honestly, I can't believe you talking trash when I'm already in your pocket, man.
Yeah. Okay. I know we went through this already. But right. now we got an extra bet on the side. We're gonna see how that goes. But you know what? The thing is that you get me down for about $70. And then I come back and beat you for like 70 in a row. That's kind of good.
Right. Well, let me give you guys a little history here real quick, Big Seth. I know that we've got Duke for a second here. Let me give you a little history right here, right? Uh-huh. So we went on the Dolphin Cruise, and there's some people that are probably listening to us that, you know, we're on the Dolphin Cruise. We decided, you know, I've been playing dominoes against a couple of my buddies from Ohio, another buddy of mine that's, from somewhere in North Carolina. So I played dominoes with them online. And so I introduced this to Duke and Clayton and Terry Kirby on the cruise that we went on a few years ago. And so we've been playing ever since, right? So we've been playing ever since. So Duke and I, you know, it's friendly betting. We bet $5 a game. We bet $5 a game, right? And the first one to 100, it resets the whole game, $100, right? So if you do the math and carry the one, Big Seth, that means you got to go up plus 20, right? You got to go up plus 20, man, once you carry the one.
Yeah.
So let me tell you what happened with me and Duke. So Duke and I, we're sitting there like playing in the middle of like the 72 team is on the stage, and we love the 72 team, but we've heard most of the stories. We've heard them all. We've heard every single story. And so once we've heard them all, we're like, so we're playing dominoes in the audience, right? And so we bring this back to the States once we go off the cruise ship, and I bust Duke's ass like I always do in dominoes, right? And I go up $100 on him, which means it's payday time, right? So I couldn't find Duke. I said, Duke, do you have Zelle? Do you have PayPal? Do you have, you know, whatever it is? Do you have it? And he's like, nah, I don't do any of that. He said, I'll give it to you when I see you in person, right? And so I'm like going around like, you know, all right, well, I'll wait till I see Duke in person. So we both are like, for somehow, some reason, I had to go to a diagnostic center, get some blood work done and things like that. Because, you know, at our age, we got to make sure we're on point with our stuff. So I went through three different diagnostic centers, and it just happened that the last one I went to, Duke's ass was there. And so
he's hunting you down, Duke.
Yeah, when he came out and got after getting his blood drawn or whatever the hell he was doing, I don't know what he was doing back there. I'm not going to speculate, but whatever he was doing back there, when he came out, I was right there. And he said, you motherfucker, go ahead. Once I saw his wife in the waiting room, I knew his ass is in there, and then poop. He popped out that $100 bill. We took a picture. And now, here's the thing about it. You know, he's right. I was whooping his ass again. I was up like $70. You know, he made a comeback. You know what I mean? Kind of like my hairline. No, like his hairline. No, not neither one of our hairlines. But he made a comeback, you know? And so then I was up like $70. Then he got it down to even. He went on a little roll. But I think I'm up now, though, Duke, right?
Yeah, you're up $5, you know.
Yeah, but I'm going to continue to be up, Duke, because you'll never come back and catch me. And our new bet, Big Seth, is whoever wins this next one owes two bills.
Well, you know what? When I can't beat you, all I got to do is play Terry Kirby. It's easy to beat him.
He's easy money?
He is, but all the time, man. Look at one point in time. I was playing, and then my wife was looking at the phone, and she was saying, who are you playing? I'm playing Domino. So I gave her the phone, and she started beating Terry.
you let your wife beat Terry? Oh,
man. Damn, everybody in the town.
Yes, it did.
I couldn't get Terry to play me anymore, Big Seth.
I know. He told me. He told me. He said he can't beat you. He said he don't want to play you no more. I said, no way, you quit. He said he quit. Yeah, you don't play you no more.
Too good.
I guess he's about to doing the same thing because he hadn't played in 2 days since we've been playing.
Yeah. Well,
too good. So, Juice, there's a question in the chat from our friend Sam Marcoux from Perfectville. And actually, he also said TK was catching passes and strays, apparently, the way you guys are slinging it at him. But the question in the chat, of course, I just misplaced it, is Juice, Duper, Clayton, and Nat all show up into the diagnostic center there at the same time. Who gets to walk in first?
Oh, Mr. Moore, you know, urgency for the age. Age always the more urgent, you know. So you worry about age first, you know. I go in last. Duke and Clayton, they're always fighting for footballs, you know, so you don't know who's going to get in first. But according to Duper, you know, Danny threw the ball to Clayton more than him anyways, you know, gave more opportunity. So I think Duke gets an opportunity going first because Clayton got more opportunities on the field. So that's what I think is happening right there, Big Seth.
Duke, do you co-sign on this?
What was I talking about? I heard the last.
Yeah, so Duke, if we go into a diagnostic center, you know what I mean? It's me, you, Nat, and Clayton. You know, who gets to go in first and why?
Well, it would be Nat, me, Clayton, and then you.
Why am I last, Duke?
Because you're the youngest.
Straight A.
You know?
Straight
A.
So why are you second then?
Because I'm second to the oldest. Okay. Nat is the oldest.
It's all about age.
It's all about age. Yeah, that's what it is.
That's too good. Well, Mark asked a great question.
All about the age.
The Dolphins receiver room. And Jeff Hafley was asked the same thing.
You got to tell me what he's saying.
I'll interpret for you.
So what's interesting is, you know, it's not quite Chris Greer saying you guys are more worried about the offensive line than we are. But he basically said, hey, we're going to get there, right? And he brought up the draft. So he made it very clear that there's some receivers who are looking at the draft. And he said that, you know, whether it was free agency or they're expecting to get some other guys. But Hafley was kind of like, hey, just hold your water there a little bit. So when you did you hear that today, Juice? I don't know if you heard. Okay. What are your thoughts when you other than the fact that he tipped his hand a little bit? Well, yeah, you could tell Duke what I said.
Yeah, we're talking about the receiver room right now, Duke, and you know, and what they talked about holding our water on, you know, the receiver room. I think my thought about the receiver room is this, you know. Mark Duper and Mark Clayton weren't first-round picks or second-round picks or third-round picks or fourth-round picks. You know what I mean? I think that
So Duper was.
He was a second-round pick.
Second-round pick. Duper was. I'm sorry. Duper was. But what I'm saying is – yeah, well, but Duper didn't know shit about football, though.
You know what I mean?
He's just a fast-ass dude that, you know what I mean, that, you know, can run by people. So I don't know what the hell the Dolphins are thinking. I really don't. I don't know what they were thinking about drafting Mark Duper in the second round. That's my philosophy right there. You know, no, I'm just playing Duper. You know,
it's the truth.
You said you told me – Duke told me he had a redshirt year. He said, shoot, I'll let Duke say it, but, you know, Duke had a redshirt year in the pros, which is hard to come by anymore, you know?
Yeah, that still did. I didn't know anything about football. I never forget that when it's the last cut day, shit, I was the first one in the locker room. Well, you guys, you seen a little bit of the locker room that we used to be with all the chicken wires and all that. I was the first one in there, and then I kept looking around, and then, you know, little Carl Tassel, his little Weezer buddy, he'd walk around, tap you on the shoulder, and let you know, and say, hey, Coach Shula want to see you, you know? So Coach Shula was passing there, and then he kept passing by me, and all of a sudden, he looked at me and said, oh, Duke, you okay? He said, don't worry, you safe, we'll give you a year. I said, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
That was the happiest day of my life, boy.
Wait a minute, Duke. So they went duck, duck, goose on the cuts back in the day, man? Like, duck, duck, duck?
That's what they used to do. They used to go by your locker. You know, you sit down and get ready to go to the meeting. You know, you got to go to the meeting every time before you go to the practice field. And before the meeting in the morning, Carl Tassel used to walk around with his little notepad and tap you on the shoulder.
Oh, man. Well,
Dad, bring your playbook.
Yeah, and they fold your chair up, man, because back then they had fold-up chairs. They had hooks or nails for locker room. And but, dude, here's the question to you, though. You know, like, everybody's a little worried about our wide receiver room right now. And I'm not as concerned because I know that we can find good talent like yourself in the second round. And Clayton, I think, was the eighth round guy or whatever it was for Clayton. And I know there's always talent in wide receiver. I think there's more talent now in the league or in college when it comes to wide receivers because everybody's doing these 7-on-7s and things like that. So I'm not as concerned about the wide receiver room considering we have 2 firsts, a 2nd, 4 thirds, where you can always go out there and find some talent because there's a bunch of wide receivers out there that are capable of going out there and making plays. And I don't know if we lost Dupe. He looks frozen like my son did during COVID.
No, I'm listening. I'm listening to what he said.
My son put a still frame of himself during COVID, and he was asleep while the teacher was doing roll call.
That's genius. That's genius.
Yeah. But look, that's how I look with Dupe. So, yeah, so Dupe, so what do you think about the wide receiver room now that we don't have Waddle, we don't have, you know, Tyreek Hill, we got some young guys, and there's really no – we're considered probably the worst wide receiver room in the league right now.
Yeah, well, first of all, that I want to make a little joke about it. So, you know, it's going to take another 4 years before they break our records. You know that.
Yes, sir.
You can't stay there 2 years, 2-3 years and break the records that we have. Now, my biggest concern, I'm like you, Juice. I like what they're doing and everything else at the field. But the most biggest thing, what they're going to have to replace is the offensive lineman.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get a good offensive lineman and let a quarterback and sit back there and read and throw the football, like you say, we can get some talent in the draft, or we can as a matter of fact, a couple of backups that they didn't do nothing with right now, they look like they're pretty good.
Right.
So I say the offensive line, get that together with the quarterback that they made a commitment already, that we know who's going to be the quarterback. So, and then put some guys. Mostly, I think I would go after tight ends.
Oh.
You know,
it's a year too late, because,
you know, that's the easiest pass in the world in the middle, you know, throwing the ball, and then the tight end is a bigger target and stuff like that. But right. I think the Dolphins are making a lot of good moves. But like you say, you only can it's only a good move unless it work out. And come September, we're gonna find out exactly what's going on with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we definitely will. So since we're talking about wide receivers, John Eric Sullivan was also asked about the decision he made with the guy who was the Dolphins star wide receiver, or at least the only one that was left. And Jalen Waddle.
Juice, what did he say?
He'll tell you in just a minute. So, Mike, what did you think about the transparency that we heard from John Eric Sullivan when he was asked about the decision to trade Jalen Waddle?
Transparency is always good. It lets the fans know. It lets the media know what's going through his mind, why he's making these moves. And I think that trade was just too good to turn down. I mean, you get a 1st and a 3rd. Essentially for Waddle, and Waddle's a great player. No one's going to say anything bad about him. He's getting close to OJ stats. That's why he had to go. We all know that.
They got to go.
But all joking aside, his salary cap was about to jump to like $33 million next year or something like that, which is a lot of money for Waddle. And I think he wants to keep this salary cap in a healthy spot, not just, you know, next year and on. Obviously not this year because they're taking all the dead money on. But by the time we're going to be good again, which is probably 2028-ish, once again, he didn't draft Waddle. These guys that he's moving on from, he didn't draft, he didn't, you know, sign or anything like that. So he has no ties to them like Chris Greer did, Mike McDaniel, or even the fans have ties to players. He doesn't have that emotional ties to these guys. So move on, get the extra, 1st-round pick, who you have a 5-year, very effective salary cap thing on, no matter who you pick with that pick. And it makes more sense long-term to take that round one pick there and move on. So I don't hate the pick. I think, I mean, it makes sense what he did, essentially, is what I'm trying to say. And I think John Eric Sullivan, again, he's thinking big picture. He's not thinking short term. You know, if we win however many games this year, I know it'll be rough in those months where we're sitting down every Sunday to watch, but he's thinking 2027, 2028. Let me set us up in a way to win then. And Waddle might not be a part of that at that time. So I get it. And I think him just being honest about it is the best policy.
Yeah. And I, you know, look, I think if you look at the history of the way the Packers draft the wide receivers, they don't like the, which is funny to have Juice and Dupe here, but they don't like the quote unquote smaller wide receivers, yep, right?
Right?
They typically like to find bigger guys. And clearly he doesn't like to pay people who are in their 30s. He doesn't like to pay big money to guys who are in their 30s. And so he said that, look, he's 27 years old. He's going to want a new contract and kind of felt that we're not going to be good for another couple of years. And they're ready, not that they're tanking, but they understand that they're going to have to take their lumps. And he felt like the best years of Waddle are going to be wasted on a team that's just trying to figure itself out again. And so he was ready to move on. But you don't normally – well, I shouldn't say you don't normally. We haven't heard anybody talk like that here in a decade plus.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is nice. And Duke, Seth was talking about how, you know, we got receivers that are getting up in age. And I know that Mike talked about, you know, the fact that we had, a great opportunity when you get a first and a third for a receiver when some other, you know, assets, you know, don't garner that type of, that type of stuff back from them. And, you know, I think that we're not going to be very good. Like Seth was talking about, you know, we're figuring that we're not going to be very good for a while. And I disagree with Mike a little bit in terms of like 2028. And I think I tried to tell y'all might be a little different than what Mike's talking about, but, I think that no matter what, if we can address some of those things in the offensive in a wide receiver room, we'll be okay. But same time though, when you get assets like we got for Waddle, and we knew that we had to move on from Tyreek, I think that we're gonna be, you know, having some of these young guys that are gonna be hungry. I think they're making a move, and Mike, you can correct me if I'm wrong, for one of the wide receivers from Green Bay. It's been rumored, right? It's been rumored. And that usually helps out a lot. Like, same thing that Aaron Rodgers did with a couple of his guys from Green Bay. I think he went after, and that's always that familiarity thing. And I know also when we talk about a guy like, you know, Malik Willis, you also have Hafley who saw Malik Willis perform. But what about some of the offensive weapons that he might have been playing or that were some of the guys that were doing scout team as well that he liked along the way too, that were doing things against his defense too. So with that being said, Duke, you know, what do you think about the fact that we're moving on from some of these wide receivers up in age? And, you know, they moved on from me when I was up in age. They moved on from you from when you were up in age, you know what I mean? So how do you feel about that situation where, you know, honestly, you know, and they have no alliance to you. Now you had a love for with Shula, that changed, but these guys that are coming in now as head coach and GM, they don't have any like alliance to any of the guys that are on our roster right now.
Right. Yeah. See, like now it's a different ball game. And the thing is that with the GM, I think he's doing exactly what a GM supposed to do, supposed to bring his people in there, because the people that's there now is really wasn't getting the job done. No matter, you can call it, you can say it was coaching, it was players, who's never it was, but the job wasn't done. So, I mean, personally, I do like what he's doing. With the team, he's putting his people in there. Now, like to say that I don't think it's gonna take like 28. For that, I think in the next couple of years, I think the Dolphins they might do a good job this year, you know, because if you look at New England, you know, that's a 2 year plan right there. You look at Seattle, that's the same thing. That's a 2 year plan. Why can't we do the same thing? Let's hopefully, and thinking and you know and pray that you know the people that he brings in that they gel together, and they accomplish something.
I agree. I agree. It's, the league is like that, man. And we hope, you know, and we've talked about this on the show before, that we all, I think, agree that, you know, what Green Bay has done in the past has worked. And if they can bring that same philosophy and that same way of doing things here, Duke, I think it'll work out for us as well. You know, we talked about earlier in the show, you know, before, you know, they had, you know, they had Brett Favre, they brought in Aaron Rodgers before it was too late. They had Aaron Rodgers, you know, and then, you know, then they bring in, you know, they bring in Love before it's too late, you know, and then they bring in Malik Willis before it's too late. You know, and so, but Love, you know, it's a great situation for them there, but we also found out that Malik Willis can play. So I think they do a great job of getting, I think Belichick did it well in New England too, but getting guys in to replace guys and get rid of guys before it's too late to get rid of guys. So I think that's a great philosophy that they're going by right now.
Especially this day and age, because, yeah, you know, like you say, that, I mean, like in my career, how many people you see now that stays at a team for like 12 years, 11 years, 14 years. You don't see that anymore.
Doesn't happen.
And so, and then I don't think that's going to, basically the only person you're going to actually see there, and now is getting like with the quarterback, you know, not even the quarterback, two, three, four years that they moving along. Yeah. It's that the game's changed, man. I tell you what, they definitely, games have changed a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
And the money is just so big, and the way the contracts are evolving, you almost can't keep guys for too long. You know, you just you end up in a situation like the Dolphins are in right now. And granted, they fast-tracked their way there with that ridiculous contract that they gave to Tua, but they, you know, that's what happens, is that you just can't, you can't have guys stay and develop, or at least not too many of them, because they outgrow what you're able to pay them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and Duke, yeah. Dude, we're talking. Seth was saying, it's amazing. I got to be the interpreter through.
Appreciate
everything.
It.
Like, I'm deaf as shit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the interpreter right here. But yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right, Big Seth. It's like, you know, with the money that's out there right now for these guys, it's hard to keep these guys long term, especially when you've got guys like Seth said with Tua, with such a big bite in the apple of what we're doing here. So then it's also, like, Duke, you were at the beginning. You were at the beginning of what free agency was, you know?
Right.
So yeah, you were stuck no matter what, where nowadays guys get through their contracts and the free agency is like, you, the Dolphins owned your rights for your, basically your whole career, didn't they?
Exactly. When I played, we didn't have free agency. You know, what they do, all the best players, we did have free agency, but all the best players would be, they put a hold on you. And which means that you can't negotiate, you can't do nothing with no team. And a matter of fact, you know, I missed the lawsuit, but it did. I think that's a Reggie White lawsuit that was won, that players at that time that couldn't move to another team, and they kept you there because it put you on that roster, that protected roster.
Right.
But now, it's like, hey, you know, you have one great year, you have two great years, and when your contract is up, you can negotiate, you know. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's like that. And it's going to be hard to keep a team like, for instance, like Clayton and I and Dan played together for 10 whole years.
Right.
Marvin Harris and what's his name? That
Edgar James. And, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was so many years. You're not going to see that no more.
Reggie
Wayne. You ain't going to see that combination no more in the NFL.
Yeah.
Not anytime soon.
What'd we get? 2.5 years of Tyreek and Waddle? I mean, it just,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
You just don't get it. Yeah.
True, Tyreek and Waddle. Yeah.
What do you think about, and so just what you're discussing, and Duper didn't have to deal with this, but you did, Juice. When there is a change for veteran players who have been with a team for a few years, and then there's a change with a new head coach, and now especially with a new head coach and new general manager, you know, I just heard Jeff Hafley talk about how he was excited to get the players in the building, that they haven't had their hands on the players, and that's something they've been looking forward to. And when you're a player for the first time walking into a building when all of this transition has happened, and for you, Juice, it was a transition from Shula to Jimmy Johnson, what is that like, walking into that building not really knowing how long, if you're going to be the next guy?
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing about it. So Duke, we're asking about, like, and like I said, Duke didn't have to go through that change. So he has Shula the whole time. But going into the building when you had Shula or whatever head coach you had, these guys had McDaniel, now they're on to Halfley, you know, going into that building as you're like a newbie, Big Seth. You're like a newbie, and you got to show and prove all over again to a bunch of guys, you know what I mean, that don't really know you and have no allegiance, no alliance, no anything with you. And they know they come in knowing that their cap is a mess. So especially the guys that are making the big money. Duke was making big money. Duke was making a gazillion dollars a year.
A gazillion?
Out to the Dolphins. He was making a gazillion dollars a
that's
year.
That's why he's in that high tax bracket, Juice.
That's right. That's why he likes DeSantis right now. You know what I mean? He wants to make sure that DeSantis gets rid of his property taxes. You know what I mean?
Look, they wouldn't paying us nothing back then. I tell you, the salary jumped up so high. The year that I left, 1992, that's when the salary jumped up very high. I mean, it had the free agent going on. I missed the boat.
He couldn't hang on for one
more
year, huh?
To do what I got to do.
Right. You know? He tried. Yeah, he tried. He tried one more year, Big Seth. He tried to get in. And, you know, we all did, man. And I think the salary cap for us back then, like when Duke was talking about my rookie year, was like $49 million. Now it's over, as Mike Olivo, you know, told us, it's over $300 million now on salary. That's 250 plus if you carry the one, Big Seth, on how the salary cap has changed since we played, you know? And so, I mean, it's crazy how, you know, when you start looking at numbers, X and O's, and then also the free agency, you know, the guys that, even guys that get, is there a transition tag anymore, Mike?
There is, but it's not used a lot.
Okay.
Now it's a franchise tag gets used more, yeah.
Right, yeah, franchise tag. Which is
that's what I was talking about.
That franchise tag is like stupid money, right? That's the average of what, the top three guys?
Top five now? Yeah.
For franchise?
Okay. I'm pretty sure it's five, yeah.
Okay, but I thought transition was somewhere. But okay, so top five guys at your position, the wide receivers. I would tell somebody, Duke, would you tell somebody, you know, if I'm on the outs, please tag me on a franchise tag on the top five money that they're making as a wide receiver, because that money is fully guaranteed, right? So
right.
And they're making what, $30-40 million a year? Let me go ahead and get that. Let me get that, Duke.
What a money, dude. And then, you know what? I'm gonna bring this up. I want somebody to guess, my first year when I played with the Dolphins, how much did I make that year?
I'm going to say $52,000.
You was close.
$40,000. Yeah.
Wow.
Damn, that wasn't close. That ain't close. Right.
but it was so funny. It was like, it was a $100,000 signing bonus, and I was a second-round draft pick, 52 pick in the draft. Now, if you calculate the 52 pick in the draft now, second round, he make more money on the signing bonus I made in my whole damn 11 years of career that I played with the Miami Dolphins. That is something, though, you know. But you know, you can't. And everybody say, well, how do you feel about that? I feel great. You know, I mean, I'm at the game, but I mean, I don't want nobody because I'm at the game. And that doesn't mean that the players should get punished because we're at the game. Now, I think it's great that they're making it, that they're making a lot of money like that. But I tell you, the game has changed so much, especially when it comes down to money. And then especially when it comes down to, like, what I like about it is that once you make the team, they can cut you, and that's it. You still get your whole salary. You had a bad game, boy. You had to be the first one in the locker room. We cut you. Yeah, your money gone. That's it. It's all over.
Hey, Duke. I was the first person in line for my check when they were trying to cut my ass, man. I promise you that. You know what I mean? It wasn't direct deposit back then, man. And you know, I think everything is all relative, Duke. Like you talk about, we look at guys like Paul Warfield who made nothing close to what we made.
Right, they made like $20,000. We just started off $20,000.
Right,
you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. And then you did that, and then of course you and Clay and what you made. And I thought I was doing pretty well. And you know, so it's all relative to the time when you play and you know what's going on. And you know, you just try to make as many bucks as you can as you right. go along,
but,
bro.
But like you said, that's what that when that free agent came in, that's when everything kicked in, yeah. you know. That's yeah. that owners was going after players, and you know, and but the only thing I don't like about this, what gets me is that for the love of football, when I played football, I played for the money too, don't get me wrong, but played for the game.
Yeah.
Do you know, I played with a broken hand for a whole year. I broke it in preseason, 1985. That's when we went to the Super Bowl, I think. No, that was 82. Yeah, 1984. I broke my hand. Now, this day and age, you break your hand, they out for the whole year. They out for the whole season. You know, I mean, I it's like, and it's another thing, I used to hate this. I tell OJ this all the time. I say, you run a fly paddle going down the field, and all of a sudden you see this. They waving. You wait. They what the fuck they wait? Excuse my lane.
Ding them.
Waving at. Run your butt right back to the huddle. It's third down. We had receivers. That's what I can understand about the coaching staff. Don't get me wrong. I loved Mike Daniel. I thought he was a great guy. You know, his personality and everything. But I could never understand how your receivers on third down, you got backups in there. Don't you right. think that's a special play?
Preach.
I mean, that's something that you're trying to do, you know, because fourth down, either you're going to punt the ball on, unless you're going to do what Detroit do, you know. That's why they lose all the time. You know? I got a friend of mine that's a Detroit fan, and I said, you know what? That's why every time he gets in the playoff, that's why he's not going to win. Fourth down, anything on fourth down behind the 50-yard line, you can forget it. Everybody prepare for that again, you know?
Right. Yeah. You're right, Duke. I mean, yeah. it's a whole different world, man. You know,
Well, I was going to say, ask Duke, when did he fall in love with the sport? Because he didn't play that much football, right, but until the Dolphins draft him. So
that's right.
I wonder when he fell in love with it.
Yo, so Dupe, Seth wants me to ask you, when did you fall in love with the game? When did you fall in love with football, man? Because we know you didn't grow up with the sport, so when did you fall in love with it?
Well, I fell in love with the game when I was running track in at Northwestern. After my track workout, I used to go to the stadium and watch them practice football because I never played football. You know, I didn't play high school football. I was on a scholarship for track for 4 years. And that's amazing that Dan Marino actually said, man, he said, how old are you? I said, I'm 67. He said, well, shit, man, how old was you when you came into the lead? I said, that's none of your business, but I was 23. That was an old one because it redshirted me, you know, right. for that year. But I fell in love when I used to practice with Joe Ferguson. And I said, man, this game is really easy. You know, I used to run routes. I used to catch over 100 balls a day with Joe Ferguson at Northwestern State University. That's quarterback, you know, for Buffalo.
Right. Yep. Right.
I fell in love with that game when it was like, you know, just running all the time, catching the football and this and that. And everybody had a problem catching the ball, but I never had a problem catching the ball.
Right.
You know, it was come first nature. And I told somebody, I said, you know what, man, I think that's what I want to do. I want to play football for the make a living. And they thought I was joking. And I stayed a whole summer working out. And that's when I fell in love with playing football because the art of the game, you know, running routes, getting open, you know, beating is always a challenge against one-on-one.
Right. Dupe, so my question to you is this. How'd you get on the radar for football when you weren't playing football? How'd you get noticed? How'd you get recognized being a track guy and got an opportunity to be a second-round pick in football?
Well, back in the day, we used to go to Detroit for a combine. And so I went to Detroit for a combine. They didn't have all this, you know, like they have now, you know, TVs and all that and crack up, you know, And Coach Shula was there. And that's when Orlando McDaniels, Mike Quick, it was all those great wide receivers got drafted in the first round and, you know, high second round. And Shula was looking for a wide receiver there. So I was running the combine. So Mike Quick and nobody ran 40. So I ran my 40. So I ran a 4.23, a 40-yard dash. And the coaches was there. Everybody was looking around. And so Coach Shula was looking around. Coach Shula actually was running again. So, you know, most players, you know, all them big names, they wasn't running. They wasn't doing nothing. So I said, nah, no shit. I just came off the track field, but I was happy to do all that because, you know, I was in shape. So I ran the 40 again. I ran a 4.35. And then I ran a 4.29. And I ran about 4.40s. And so Julie liked it that. So we was catching footballs. Okay, quarterback wanted to throw the football. But nobody wanted to run the routes. You know, like they was first round, second round. So I run them. So I ran the route. I'm outrunning everybody. I'm outrunning every quarterback when they drop back and throw the football. Nice. So I used to reach back and I catch the ball. So Coach Shula asked me, he said, hey, could you do me a favor? I said, what? I said, sure. He said, I want you to catch the ball over your shoulder. And I said, over my shoulder. I said, okay. So the quarterback ran down the field, quarterback threw the football, which the under threw me again. So I slowed down and I leaned way back and I caught the ball over my shoulder and I came back. And then Coach Shula, when I look back, I seen a smile from here to Georgia on Coach Shula's face. And then he came up and told me, he said, do you want to play football? I said, yes, for sure. Why not? And he said, yeah. I said, okay, well, we're gonna try to draft you, but they were going to draft me in the fourth round or the fifth round. But Coach Shula finally realized that because, you know, Buffalo against the Dolphins, that's just a riot every year. He realized that I was going to get drafted by Buffalo because Joe Ferguson had put in the good word, and they was about to pick me in the third round. And Coach Shula took that second round after he took Roy Foster and then drafted me in the second round because I didn't know shit, excuse my language again, nothing about football. Nothing at all about football. Right. And you talking about, and then Juice elaborated a little bit more. I stayed hurt the whole time I was in camp. They used to call me the slowest, fastest man in camp. I used to hate that. Yeah, you know, they made me run 4.34s in camp. And right. Saying that because it was calling my time and they was like bull crap. He was not running that fast.
You can say bullshit here, man. We're grown up in here. It's after 9 o'clock. It's PBS. PBS time.
Okay.
Damn, you're 10.
Yeah, they because when I ran, it didn't look like I was running. But right. that was a tragedy. I just knew that if I wouldn't got, and I tell that to anybody, if I didn't get drafted, 52 pick, second round, my black ass wouldn't have been on the football field. They'd have cut me.
Not in Miami. Not in Miami. You might have been somewhere else. Dude, it's so funny you say that, bro, because I heard the same rumors that I was going to Buffalo if they didn't take me. So I don't know if it's just the way they talk to these wide receivers that end up getting drafted by Miami that, you know, Buffalo was going to take you next. That's why we moved up. But that's what I heard the same thing, man. I heard the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm glad that you're here instead of there. And you would have had 4 Super Bowl losses in a row as well if you would have gone to Buffalo. And that would have sucked too, bro.
I wouldn't have had a great career. It's too damn cold down there, man. Look, I my hat's off to those guys, man. Like, it was fun to go up there because you know you're going to be in that cold for about 4 hours and then boom, you're out of there.
Yeah.
But every single game, and I don't understand that. Buffalo is building another stadium and they're building an outdoor stadium. What is it, crazy?
Yeah, well, they don't want to give us an advantage. They're worried about the Dolphins. Nice. They're worried about the Dolphins, baby. You know, they don't want. No, they're not worried about us, but they do have that advantage. Hey, Duke, talk about real quick. I know we're going to go into our try to tell y'all right after this, but Duke, tell everybody about that crown that Buffalo had on the field. In the middle of the field, they had this big old crown for drainage at this field, Big Seth. And you look over to the other sideline, you can only see guys up to their knees.
Yeah.
You see there, if you watch it looking across, that crown was crazy, man. Talk about that crown and running routes on that, especially when it's slick.
Oh, yeah. That is funny. Back in the day, that day, Buffalo, well, I don't know if I guess it's still that. They had that big, long crown. And the thing is, you're right. When you're on the other side, basically, when you're spreading the field, you can't really see. It's very deep, and it's hard to run routes like that.
Right.
But it's easy for the quarterback to get the ball to you, too.
Right. Yeah, it's easy for them. But you had to go out there and work on that timing, man, because honestly, we all know that you run faster downhill, Big Seth and Savak and Mike. You know, you run – coming downhill, you're moving it. That ball's got to be out and about, man.
Exactly.
So, Yeah. So with that being said, Seth, I think we're at the 10 o'clock hour, man. Let's move on to I tried to tell y'all, right?
Yeah, you're doing a great job driving the show. I'm just kind
well,
of
bored, you know, man. Well, since you're blocked out from Duke, like, you know, kind of like both couldn't hear what the hell Chad was saying. You know,
yeah, we gotta figure out what's going on. We didn't have this problem on Riverside.
No. Oh yeah, Mike. Oh, Mike. Shots fired.
That's all right.
I know that's right. All right.
All right, Duke, I'm done.
You're done. You want to hear this, though? You want to hear what I try to tell you? We'll let you listen.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to listen to it because I keep cutting in and out.
It won't hear me.
You won't hear Seth, but yeah.
I can't hear nothing.
All right. So, you heard me and Mike, correct? You sure Mike and I are just recalling?
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, right.
All right. So, I'm going to give you mine real quick, y'all. All right. So, I tried to tell y'all that miracles happen. We can go back to the miracle on ice when the United States beat the overly powerful Soviet Union in 1980. I was very young then at that point, but, you know, I definitely was not into hockey, but I remember it. And some Dolph fans that are also UM fans can remember the miracle Hail Mary from Doug Flutie versus the Hurricanes when he's playing for Boston College. I mean, there's also the Immaculate Reception from Franco Harris. For y'all that don't know, I went to Penn State. We are. Here we go. When he plucked that football just short of the cold turf versus the Raiders and ran it into the end zone against the Raiders in a divisional playoff game to advance to then the AFC Championship game against the undefeated, we know this, Miami Dolphins, you know, who go on the road and continue their dominance following the fake punt by my coach Larry Seipel, also Duper's coach at one point, I believe. We know that miracle happened right after that. Still a miracle, though, right? There's also the fake spike miracle that my quarterback Dan Marino had against the stinking Jets that made me have a 42-inch vertical. I think Duke already had a 42-inch vertical, but my vertical went up after we made that play happen in the spike game. And, you know, and we can also chat about the miracle in Miami or Miami miracle where Ryan Tannehill threw it to Kenny Stills. Stills laterals it to Dante Parker. Parker laterals it to Speedy Kenyon Drake, who had a block and beat Rob Gronkowski, who definitely, Big Seth, did not have the angle. More recently, we have the reason I'm talking about this because we saw that UConn game that went against Duke and the buzzer beater against the Boozer Boys in the Elite Eight. You know, that's why I wanted to really talk about miracles can happen. I say miracles happen because who predicted Jacksonville to be so good this past year? It was a miracle. Who predicted Denver to be so good? It was a miracle. Who predicted Seattle to win the Super Bowl? It was a miracle. What I'm trying to tell you is, why not us? We can pull off the unimaginable. Why not? I'm a true homer and optimist. We all are, right? That's why we're on this show, right? So I will always believe in miracles because that is what sports bring us. I just gave you examples of what sports can bring us in terms of things that you don't expect to happen, and they happen. Those are all called, for the most part, miracles, because that is what sports are all about. So when it happens this year, remember, I tried to tell y'all that miracles happen. Again, I tried to tell y'all.
Man, a little positivity from Juice today. I like it.
Going on the app, I'm going to bet the Dolphins to win the Super Bowl right now. DraftKings, let's go.
What are the odds for a miracle?
Got right. The well, hey, yeah, I'll take it. I'm always going to be the optimist. I'm always
Juice called it. You all heard it here first.
All right.
Good.
Savak, you got one for us?
No, I do not.
All right, Mike, you got one for us?
I got one for you. And it is draft season, which means it's also mock draft season. And I tried to tell y'all about mock drafts. Mock drafts are fun. Read them. You want to make one of your own, go for it. Read the ones from Mel Kiper, Field, Yates, and all the so-called experts. But do not get upset about a mock draft. Because if you do get upset about a mock draft, there's something wrong with you in the head. This poor Matt Miller of ESPN on Monday put out a 7-round mock draft. And, you know, he made all the picks for the Dolphins, all 11 picks. And Dolphins fans, a segment of them, not all, lost their damn minds over what Matt Miller of ESPN put out. Dolphins fans are cursing Matt Miller. They're sending him angry tweets. They're attacking him personally. It got crazy. And I shared Matt Miller's little mock on Twitter and on our website because I found it interesting. He works for ESPN. He's going to be on the set, you know, when we get there later this month for the draft. It was fine. I had one crazy person send me a nasty email like I did the mock draft. He's yelling at me over Matt Miller's picks like I made them. He's calling me stupid. He's calling me names. I mean, this guy was really, really angry at me in this email and somewhat abusive over someone else's mock draft. I'm like, it's 8:15 in the morning. I don't need this. Okay? It's a freaking mock draft. It ain't real. Nobody should be angry over a mock draft ever. Right. It's like that other guy at ESPN, Joe Lunardi. Now, Monday night is going to be the national championships game in men's basketball. And I don't know who's going to win, but whoever wins, you know what the lead story on Tuesday morning will be on ESPN.com? It won't be about the winner. It's going to be Joe Lunardi's field of 68 for the 2027 tournament. You know, Iowa's going to be a 6 seed in the West. You know, St. John's will be a 1 seed in the South. Like, he's guessing. He don't know. He's guessing. Not all sports content is the Watergate investigation and reporting. Right. Some of it's fun. Some of it's lighthearted. That's what mock drafts are. And even the experts will admit they're just guessing for the most part. So no NFL fan, no Miami Dolphins fan should get their let their blood pressure rise over a dopey mock draft because in round 3, they got the Dolphins taking an edge rusher from dumb fuck state. Everyone knows he's got short arms, and he ain't going to go in round 3. He's going to go in round 5. Stupid mock draft, and you're the idiot who sucks at life because that's your mock draft. Folks, relax. Take them for what they are. Fun. Something to pass time between now and the draft. So if you see so-and-so's mock draft 4.0, and he's got the Dolphins taking Jordan Tyson from Arizona State at pick 11, calm down. Don't go losing your mind. Don't act like someone just ran over a little cat in the street and then that car ran over it again and he's the worst person in the world. Take some free advice. The next time you let a mock draft work you up, go outside, have a gummy, touch some grass, maybe smoke some grass, I don't know, and just relax. And remember, I tried to tell y'all, don't get worked up over any mock draft ever.
Well done, Michael Leva, man.
Don't text Mike about it. Don't email him about it.
Don't go email
right?
me because Matt Miller put out a mock draft. You don't look, it's my fault. I don't work for ESPN.
I'm feeling inspired to do a mock draft and just spend all of Miami's picks on punters and kickers, and then I'm going to link it to you, Mike.
Link it to
and holders. And holders. Got to get some holders in there. But they usually are punters. Big Seth, what you got for us? I know you can't hear you, but we're going to.
The problem with going last is when someone brings it like that. You know, then it's like if I don't think I've got it, then I don't know. But here's the deal. I tried to tell y'all that while today might be April Fool's Day, the Miami Dolphins are no laughing matter. Now, I fully recognize that the franchise that we hold near and dear to our hearts has been a laughing stock for multiple decades, but damn it, it's just not funny anymore. As Dupe had enough, he's out. Dupe was like,
He couldn't hear you, so he did. Couldn't hear you, so he did.
That is pretty funny. But the Dolphins are no laughing matter, okay? So it's just not funny anymore. From missing the playoffs with the league's leading rusher and pass rusher on the same team, to Dave Onstad telling us that punting ain't a bad thing, know what I mean? To the most prolific rusher in team history, quitting the day before training camp, and then being found in a tent in Australia, to Nick Saban choosing a bad knee over a bad shoulder, to Joe Bailey hiring himself but not hiring Mike Tomlin because he was too hip-hop, to Cam Cameron failing forward fast, Well, turning his thumbs this way, guys, and then giving Dom Capers and Mike Mularkey head coaching reps in the preseason in case he ever had to miss a game when he never coached a game as a head coach in the National Football League. Dom Capers had been in championship games. To Mad Dog screaming, "I love Rich Camarillo," as the unstoppable combination of Cleo Lemon and Greg Camarillo did the exact opposite of what the one-storied franchise did to the 1985 Bears, to Jeff Ireland asking Dez Bryant if his mother was a prostitute, to the Tuna drafting Pat White and then blaming all his friends for it, then not traveling to frickin' road games. What? I'm sorry, I don't have my hearing aids in. I can't hear what you're saying. To Joe Bailey feeling queasy, unless Don Aponte handed him, you know, index cards so he could rally the team after games. To Adam Gase sitting alone by himself on the bench in the middle of a damn game while it was going on. To Brian Flores starting Jacoby Brissett over Tua because Tua's pinky was hurt from golfing. To our draft picks sailing away on a boat with Tom Brady this way and Sean Payton going that way, to a four-year stand-up comedy routine that we just weathered. We have had more than our fair share of jokes played on us, Miami Dolphins fans, over the years. And I don't know about you guys, but I ain't falling for them anymore. And hopefully I won't have to. Because if nothing else, John Eric Sullivan means business. That dude is serious when he shows up to work. The only joke that he's told since he got to Miami was the fact that he shaved his head so he wouldn't be confused with head coach Jeff Hafley anymore. And I don't think he was really joking. You know, I think it's actually the truth. But his no-nonsense approach has been refreshing. Does it guarantee wins? No. Just like a coach spitting in the face of a player when he's yelling and screaming on the sidelines doesn't mean he's a good coach. It doesn't guarantee us anything, but it tells me that he takes his job seriously. This is not a joke. I'm hoping that the Miami Dolphins are no longer a joke because it's just not funny anymore. It's April Fool's Day, guys, but the Dolphins are not the joke. I tried to tell y'all.
Nice. That's awesome, bro. Seth. You brought it. That's great.
Nice. Nice,
well, I you definitely very should nice. Have been.
Yeah, in, it was good. Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Seth and I, you know, everybody. You know,
no one's laughing about this anymore. No one's laughing about losing.
Yeah, from Mike's, you know what I mean, mock drafts. We don't know what the hell we don't know anything as fans. We don't know a damn thing. And then we can say whatever we need. And for Seth, you know, I think this team is, you're right, Big Seth. These guys are no joke anymore, man. We're trying to get beyond the laughing stock of the league in terms of, you know, press conferences and picks, all that other shit that we go through, bro. You know, and I'm with you on that, man. That was brilliant right there, man. And I'm pumped because I'm a serious dude when it comes to my Dolphins, man. I'm serious, man. It's serious, extent.
But you're positive, though. You're definitely positive.
Positively serious. Optimistic.
And miracles I got it do happen. Oh, you're right here. John Eric Sullivan, right after he got the Dolphin job. It's 4 seconds.
How would you describe your football philosophy? Win.
There we go.
Let's go.
That's it.
Let's go.
Right, Mike.
There's a bit of a shit talker in there, you know, and I like it, but he's kind of – listen, I'm excited to see what year two and year three. I am blown away. I really am all in on John Eric Sullivan. I'm not in on Hafley. I'm just we've seen so much that I need to see more and I need to see the results.
Yeah, we won't see half until games start. We see John Eric Sullivan now. You know what I mean? Most of what he's doing is what we'll see now. And that's how GMs are. They work this time of year. When September hits, we'll see what half is about. You know, so, and I know they work hand in hand, and I love the fact that they talked about alignment this last week, which we've heard that before, but when you've got dudes that really actually know each other, that alignment is real. Like, Seth and I have an alignment that we talk about, you know, because we've known each other for so long, you know, and these guys have an alignment that they've had for a couple of years now that it's real. Whereas when McDaniel came in with Chris Greer, there couldn't have been any alignment. They had to force, they had to find an alignment. You know, these guys have it naturally because they've known each other for a while. And I love how real they are, Big Seth and Mike and Savak, about how, look, we weren't, you know, no, we didn't hang out. We didn't go to each other's houses. We didn't do anything like that. But we knew each other, you know, and, you know, we respected each other's business and how we handled our business. And that's how they're aligned now. And I expect them to be aligned for a long time now. I love that.
I hope so. Because we've seen.
Real quick. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. I was going to say, we've seen what we thought was an alignment, and then when things start going south, people start doing this deal.
Well, that's what I was saying, though. How could they be aligned when they don't really know each other? Like, you know right. what I mean? Like I said, you call me, and everybody, Seth calls me about 7:30 every morning. You know, every single morning, Seth's like, I'm like, okay, let me wake my ass up.
I try to wait till 8.
I try to sleep in until 8. You know, no, he usually hits around 8. 8:01 and some change is probably about
8:01. That's it.
8:01 and some change. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, but that's how, you know, that's the alignment you're talking about, bro. And I think that these guys are if they didn't have before, they're definitely on that path to be in alignment with whatever's going on. And I think that all of us can agree that what we've heard and seen so far, we're all in agreement with and what they're doing with this organization right now.
Yeah. And with John Eric Sullivan, who he is replacing, let's just be honest, the bar is pretty freaking low. Like, he doesn't have to do much to surpass the last guy. 7 picks in the top 94. No fan should think he's going to hit on all 7. It'd be great if he did, but no general manager hits on, like, you know, that many picks. If he hits on 4 or 5,
right?
Damn, that's great. Like, that's a great percentage.
That's amazing. That's
an amazing percentage. So yeah, with 7 picks in the top 100, if he hits on 4 or 5, don't focus on the 1 or 2 that he missed on. Focus on the fact that he hit on that many, because the last guy couldn't come close to doing that. And right. with Halfley, again, we don't know what Halfley is till September. But here's the thing. He's got, it seems like he's got the right temperament to go through a possible rough season this year. Seems like he's someone who's not going to get too high, too low, that if it does go bad, you know, he'll be able to survive. And it seems like he's not someone who's going to be sitting there telling jokes, or someone's going to be like screaming and yelling at people, you know, just mad that they're, it seems like he's got a good temperament. And the thing we're going to see with him this year more than anything, don't do dumb shit. 3rd and 1, just run the ball. Don't, you know, in the red zone, don't throw a fade pass to a 5'9 wide receiver. Like, don't do dumb shit. Just, you know, don't waste all your time out to win a challenge here or there. Right. So, like, if he can just do competent things, even if they only win 4 or 5 games or whatever, however many games, like, okay, we all knew this roster was very young this year. They had a lot of money on the cap that they couldn't use, all the dead money. Like, just don't do dumb shit and have a good temperament to sort of survive this year. Then next year, hopefully the roster's better and you can sort of take off and run in then. But that's what I think what most fans sort of want to see from him this year, and we'll find out in September. But yeah. I think he does. I think he's probably the right guy for right now, and we'll see if he's the right guy long term. We'll see. I don't know. Right.
Don't do dumb shit. Mike tried to tell us.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah, I agree.
Ding, ding.
Yeah. I hope you're right. I don't know with Halfley. I'm trying.
That's
not
the thing.
To,
I don't know.
I'm just trying not to buy into. I don't know. He presents very well. There's no doubt that he presents very well. And, you know, particularly towards the end there with Mike McDaniel, he just it struggled to feel coherent even. So, you know, but we got to see what happens. He's got to get a team together and we see what happens. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. We'll all be watching. We're gluttons for punishment one way or another. So we'll all be here. We'll be watching. We'll be talking about it. Speaking of watching, there's been a lot going on with us. So Fin Condition is rocking and rolling this week. We've had 2 episodes out. We have the Marco Coleman 1992 Pro Line Portraits. We got today we just dropped the Larry Little rookie card.
Larry Little.
It was 1972. So not only was it the perfect season, 1972 happened to be Larry Little's rookie card. And yes, I know that he wasn't drafted in 71 or 72, but you can listen to the episode and understand what happened there. And then on Friday, I think, Savak, are we dropping? Savak went into his own collection, dug out cards from the closet, and he's got a Troy Stradford rookie card. So that's
Friday. From Boston College.
Yeah. Yep. Strad.
1988 Topps Troy Stradford rookie card, a super rookie, not to be confused with a star rookie.
Man, that's bullshit. Ding. Anyhow,
speaking of super, how about super duper? Just hanging out like, this guy's talking. I'm out of here.
I got no time for that.
I'm not going to sit here and watch this guy's lips move.
We might have only a 4 mic.
Yeah, I got one plug, too. One plug. Yeah. Tomorrow on our network, we have a special guest with Marissa Marino is going to be interviewing. Now, don't laugh after what I just said. Matt Miller of ESPN.
Is he coming with security? Is Stu Weinstein going to be there?
I didn't have any problem with his draft. I actually thought it was like okay. But I'm sure I'm going to get an email from somebody screaming, blaming me about it.
Too good.
God. All right, guys.
Well, I look forward to hearing it. You can catch that right here on Dolphins Talk. And more Fish Tank and Fin Condition coming up. Juice, get his ass.
Yeah. As our man David Fernandez says, man, happy Passover and happy Easter, everybody. And thanks for diving in.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Yeah. Dolphins. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank.